Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm well. Morning, guys.
You excited to give this a go again? Round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs begin tonight?
Oh, we're just warming up. Are you kidding me?
What are you doing? Which game?
Montreal.
Yeah, you are.
Yep, Montreal, Tampa Bay, Rangers, Washington. So, it's exciting.
Yeah, you sound excited.
Jacked up.
Early. We're doing the East Coast games. Darren Millard and his crew are doing the later ones.
Do you miss Darren?
I miss Darren, yes. And I miss Doug.
Like, do you really miss Doug? I know you probably miss Darren.
Like, I miss going to the dentist.
Hey, listen, we'll ask him later, too. But quickly, someone, a rumor out there, and a source telling me yesterday that to get Babcock in Toronto, it's going to take, I believe it was 6 years, $40 million, so $6.5 million a year.
Well, we know he's going to break the bank if he wants to. We know that. And I would think that it's going to take a lot of money. I don't know how much.
Is that out of the realm of possibility, though?
Listen, I'd never put anything past Mike Babcock when it comes to that ego. We all like to be the highest paid at whatever we do, but for me, it just doesn't make much sense from the Toronto Maple Leaf side. And I think it would go against everything Brendan Shanahan's trying to do by all of a sudden giving Mike Babcock all the power with the Leafs. And that's essentially that you would be doing, is handing him complete control if he's going to not only coach but have a huge say in player personnel. I think Brendan's trying to create this team of management, and by just stroking this unbelievable check to Mike Babcock, you essentially give him all the power in that committee that he's trying to create. It doesn't make much sense from my end.
But does it make sense, Nick, if they're not bringing in a big-time GM, that's maybe the reason, because they want Babcock to have the Patrick Roy type role?
It's quite possible. It is quite possible. But, you know, in Colorado, there's just really two chefs in the kitchen, and that's Joe Sakic and, of course, Patrick Roy. It's much easier to control. It's much easier to have a say. That's not what Brendan Shanahan's doing. It's just not going to be Brendan and Mike Babcock. It's going to be Mark Hunter. It's going to be Kyle Dubas. And it's going to be another general manager. You know, I don't think that you're going to name Mike Babcock coach and general manager. You know, those days are over when I think Scotty Bowman did him in Buffalo and it was a disaster. So, again, I can't see it. I understand that he is going to be the highest paid coach in hockey. I can't see it being that big of a number out of Toronto. Maybe Buffalo, where it could just, you know, be him and you know, a general manager there. But I can't see the committee thing getting pulled off by Brendan Shanahan if you hire Mike Babcock and give him all the power that we're talking about.
Is that what Mike Babcock, two questions. First, we'll go with this. Is that what Mike Babcock wants? We know he wants money, but does he want that much influence and control? Or is he, you know, you talk about the ego. Is he trying to cement himself into the pantheon of NHL coaches by saying, okay, well, I'm Mike Babcock. Not only am I the highest paid guy in the league, I have one of the most powerful positions for a head coach, and I am turning around a franchise that's been in the dump for the last decade.
Yeah. You got to be careful on that one, too, because, you know, we've all tried to do that, you know, in some small capacity, but we all fantasize about being the difference maker to win a championship in Toronto. And, you know, there's always a part of everyone that says, I could be a difference here. But, you know, I would think that his legacy is important up to now, and you got to be careful here, because if it's just all about the money, we know he can cash in. He can cash in Buffalo, Edmonton, and Toronto, and possibly get the number that you're talking about. But where is your legacy in all of this? And it can get hurt if you make a really bad decision here. And I think the prime example that I can think of, at least, you know, as a guy that's been around the NHL now for a long time, is Glenn Sather. I'm telling you, no one had a better resume and a better feeling of being remembered as one of the all-time greats in hockey, and the architect in Edmonton, and the Rangers had to have him, and what happened? Went to New York, and he became immortal, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just became ordinary. And what's wrong with Glenn Sather? And Glenn Sather was this amazing guy that put championship after championship together in Edmonton, goes to New York, and what happened the last 12 years? And the Rangers may win this year, but I don't think it'll completely clean up the last 10, 12 years in New York of, you know, Glenn Sather, why'd he sign that guy? Oh, why'd he get that guy? And that guy was a disaster, and why is he still there? And how come Glenn Sather never got fired? I mean, that. What do you remember about Glenn Sather? You remember more of the Edmonton days, or you remember what went wrong in New York? And I think Babcock, you know, has to be careful with his next move, because, you know, he's been an incredible figure in our game, you know, for the last, you know, 10 years in Detroit with the Stanley Cups there and the gold medals and all of that. And then, you know, if he makes the wrong move, if he comes to Toronto, it's a complete disaster. What are you going to remember more about Mike Babcock?
That he's got 6.5 million reasons not to care if it fails.
No, he'll remember that. You won't.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I find all the pieces of the puzzle to be very interesting, though, because, you know, if you're talking about Mike Babcock in terms of him wanting control, him wanting to have some teeth to the role that he's asking for, if indeed that's what he's asking for, by all accounts it is, no matter where he ends up, if he ends up in Buffalo or Edmonton, he wants to be able to, as anybody does in their profession, they want control. So if he does get that control, and if he does get that kind of money, and if he does get that kind of term, it seems to me that there is a part of it that's got some sensibility. You know, if Shanahan's going to put the Shana plan together and get all this stuff figured out, to have a guy like Kyle Dubas to be Mark Hunter's understudy, Mark Hunter then becoming the general manager, and him working with...
Mark Hunter's not becoming the general manager.
No way?
No, not a chance. And that's not to disrespect Mark Hunter, but that's just, he's not ready for that role. He's not. And if he does get it and Babcock comes in, then the truth is that, you know, Mike Babcock would end up, you know, running the show. And that's just not fair to Mark Hunter, and it's not fair to anybody. And he's just not ready. Kyle Dubas is not ready for that role as general manager in this market, in this town. It's just, it's not there just yet. They could be great general managers one day, but they're not ready. And if Brendan Shanahan puts them in that position, then it's not right.